Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Successful Woman Radio Show, brought to you by WomenAboutBiz.com, empowering you with the tools and resources to start and grow your very own business. Hello, ladies. This is Trina Newby, your host and business success coach, broadcasting to you live this Monday, October 30th, 2017, and as always, bringing you inspiration, motivation, and ways to make your business, your dreams, and your ideas, guess what, a huge success. Well, I trust that you all had a productive weekend, and as always, I want to remind you of the fact that yesterday you should have taken the time to review your calendar and ensured that all activities and tasks scheduled were supporting your goals for this week. Now, of course, if you didn't do that, it's no time like now, so after the show, make sure you go ahead and do so immediately following the show, because you have to hold this in priority, because it is requiring you to take action, and it's important that you don't confuse your own self with not being clear on what goals you're trying to accomplish by the end of this week, right? Very, very important. As you know, this pertains to a much larger scheme of things, because overall, whatever you're doing should really correlate to what's happening on a quarterly basis, then on a monthly basis, and then, of course, you break that down into weeks. So this has a lot to do with you being organized, not just for the week, but it really has a lot to do with you being organized for the month, for the quarter, and for the year. And, of course, you can see what happens with the trickle-down effect. If you're not organized from an annual standpoint, that's where the biggest point of the confusion is caused, because just because you're being busy every single day, don't forget, it does not mean that, for example, it doesn't mean that you are clear on where you're trying to go. If you're being busy, it could be being busy on all of the wrong things. Trust me, I know this from firsthand experience. And so, of course, our goal here at Successful Woman Radio is to get you focused, to get you clear, so that you can start better accomplishing your goals, so that you know exactly what it is that you want to see happen. So we've got a great lineup for you today. As always, we're going to be sharing with you the 5 questions to spark your abundance, right? We're going to continue to talk about ideas for holiday marketing. And, of course, I have another book excerpt for you from Get Clients Now by C.J. Hayden. And then we're going to get right down to our hot topic of the day, which is go get your clients. This is the last Monday, where we're going to be talking about our overall theme, which is getting new clients. And so over the last few Mondays for the month of October, we have covered a lot of information about the follow-up process, and also about methods and techniques that you can use to get new clients. Now, we have based a lot of our discussion off of the book of the month, which is Get Clients Now by C.J. Hayden. And so if you have not ordered this book for your library, your success library. Now, you do have a success library, right? Books written by experts with 10-plus years of experience that can help you to shorten your learning curve and take you much farther than where you are right now, right? So if that is the case, you know, this book should definitely be one of the books that's in your success library. Get Clients Now by C.J. Hayden. And right now, a lot of people have emailed me and said they didn't find it at the bookstore, but they did find the book on Amazon.com. And so I would just say go straight to Amazon then and order the book for yourself. And, of course, I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised. Now, this book is not just a reading book. You can really consider this book kind of like a workbook, because it does have a lot of tools and resources, and she guides you through a 28-day transformation, right, of you actually understanding the funneling process of generating leads, which in turn gives you the opportunity to get new prospects and to be able to close the sale. So that is going to be very, very important. So as we go into our hot topic later today, go get your clients, that simply means that, listen, we've been talking about all the ways that you can get clients, but I'm going to give you a good review, a good overview of what you should be doing to generate those leads. And I'm also going to be talking about sales and closing the sales because it's so very, very important and it has a lot to do with you generating leads. And I'll get into it in just a little bit later because a lead doesn't mean a sale, and a sale doesn't necessarily mean a lead. You know, they all mean something totally different. And you've got to improve your sales closure ratio if you are going to be successful at generating new clients, people who have paid you money to provide a service or a product. You've got to get good at that, okay? So there are segments or different sections of this process of getting a new client that you need to understand. And it takes a lot of time. And I think sometimes with us as business women, we just want everything now. We want to know everything there is to know to be successful now. We want it in place like now. And what happens is that causes analysis paralysis. It causes us to dissect things too much. And it causes us to plan too much on things instead of putting it into action. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on, okay? Now, the section that we're going to be reading from is Chapter 7 because this is the most popular part of the book, Get Clients Now, because she tells you in the universal marketing system there are the main areas that you should be concerned with, right? And she shares with you what those main areas are, and so we'll go back over them in just a little bit. But one of the biggest problems that people have, and one of the areas of the feeling of the universal marketing system line, when you don't know enough people to contact. So I'm going to be reading from that because it is the most popular one that everybody chooses. So that's going to be a little bit later on in the show today. So here we are at the end of October, basically, and we've got 2 months left in this year. So you might be asking yourself, well, what is it that I should be doing? What kind of impact can I make on my business towards the end of this year since it's only 2 months left? And part of that 2 months has a lot to do with the holiday season. And I agree with you. That's an important question that we all should be asking ourselves. So we're going to delve into that a little bit later on as well in the show. What should I be doing to have a bigger impact on my business in 2018, right? So we're going to cover that. So right now we're going to go ahead and go right into the 5 questions to spark your abundance. Again, 5 questions to spark your abundance. For those of you that are new to the show, first of all, I want to welcome you. And if you didn't get a chance to hear my name, I'm Trina Newby. I'm the founder of Women About Biz, and I'm your business success coach and host of Successful Woman Radio. And this show is all about providing you with tools and resources and know-how to be a more successful woman in business and in life. So what we're doing here is we have 5 questions to spark your abundance, and these questions we ask at the beginning of the show every single Monday. Here's question number 1. Who would I like my customer or client to be this week? So, you know, again, this is an important question because we shouldn't just wait for people to call us or email us. Or try to connect with us, but we should always be in a consistent streaming mode of contacting other people and introducing ourselves and letting them know who we are and what we do. And one of the easiest ways to do this is in an environment that's already prepared and designed to do that. That would be perhaps a networking event of some kind. And so, again, I want to encourage you, you should be going to at least 2 networking events weekly. Here's question number 2. What can I do to generate cash this week? Again, what can I do to generate cash this week? And where I set the word cash, I want you to replace that with an actual dollar figure, okay? Now, keep in mind, again, that this particular question probably for you or for many of you will have a multi-part answer because you may have to do a little bit of discovery in this particular question, okay? Here's number three. What can I do to be a better leader this week? Again, what can I do to be a better leader this week? This question, I've identified this as probably one of the most important questions that you should be asking yourself because every single day you should be improving on being a leader, because it is my firm belief that if you improve your leadership skills, you're going to automatically also see improvements in other areas of your business, right? You're going to see improvement in how you're generating your cash and how you're coming up with new ideas. You're going to improve on your planning skills and planning for your for more growth for your business, planning your marketing strategy, all of those different things. So you really have to slow this question down for yourself, and you. This is another multi-part answer on what you can do to be a better leader. But it, again, it's my firm belief that leadership is the most important part of a business. It really is. While there are businesses that fail because they don't have enough capital, because they didn't do a good enough business plan, all of that really boils down to leadership ability. Right? If you are a good leader for your company, now I've recommended this, I want to recommend it today for all of you who may not have heard it. However, you need to create a position description for yourself as the owner or CEO of your company. You need to be knowing what to do. When you get hired by a corporation, one of the first things they provide with you and provide you with is a parameter or a scope of things that you should be doing based on the title that you have been given. Well, then it is no different than if you were working for someone else, because now you're working for yourself to accomplish your business goals, and you need to give yourself a position description outlining the scope of responsibilities that you have and what should be done with those. So I want to encourage you that if you have not, you need to do it. I've had many clients' aha moments once they created their position description because they became aware of really what role they really should be playing in their company. For the first time, they really understood what being a CEO is. And so, again, you can go on Google and you can Google up position descriptions for CEOs and look at some of the responsibilities they have. You can set up a brainstorming session with yourself and say, hey, if I were hiring someone to run my business, what would I be wanting them to do? What type of reports would I need to see from them? What about weekly, monthly, quarterly, annually? What am I expecting this person to do for my company, okay? And, you know, again, you're a small business, so a CEO of a small business will do something different than a CEO of a top 500 corporation that had the ability to hire multiple people to run departments, right? But when you are the CEO of one, then that CEO is going to be a what I call a working CEO, responsible for playing multiple roles and doing different things in the business. So keep that in mind as you are writing your position description, because it needs to be a real-time description, right? It doesn't need to be a description where it's far-fetched. I don't want you to get in the role of fantasy world here. I want you to get in the role of real, but I also want you to stretch the role of CEO and make sure that whatever you have written down, that you're demanding certain things out of that role that you need to see, okay? Very, very important. Question number four, what prospects or possible collaborations can I follow up with this week? Well, this has a lot to do with who all you talked with on the last week, right? Did you talk with any new leads? Did you meet any new people whose businesses were compatible with yours, but perhaps they don't do the same thing that you do, so you could collaborate? This is very important. And then lastly, in the five questions to spark your abundance, number five is, what are ways I can market and promote my business this week? One of the things that I truly have learned is that some of you have marketing plans that you have not implemented at all. Some of you have marketing plans that you have implemented but not on a consistent level. Therefore, it's difficult to get any gauge on what you should be improving on if you've not been doing something on a consistent basis, right? And then there are some of you who haven't written a marketing plan at all, and you're not sure how to do that and where you need to be at this point in your business. Well, this is when you really need to talk to a business coach. That's exactly what your business coach is for. And that is what I am here for. And so I want to encourage you that if you have not taken advantage of the numerous times I've offered to provide you with a free Power Talk consultation, then this is your opportunity to do so. Now, here's how you get it. We go to womenaboutbiz.com, right? Womenaboutbiz.com. You simply go there, and in the top red menu bar, all you do is select coaching. And once you select coaching, you'll go to the right-hand column, and there it is, schedule Power Talk. You fill out the form, you select the date that you want to have your Power Talk, and it's as easy as that. There is no charge for a Power Talk if you are a first-time user. Every businesswoman gets one Power Talk with us at Women About Biz once a year, right? And that gives you the opportunity to experience something different, to experience how I can help you, to experience one-on-one, just you and me, how we can brainstorm together and talk about ways to market your business. If you have had your free Power Talk this year, then it's time for you to become more part of the Women About Biz family by looking at either joining as a Gold member or by looking at getting some one-on-one coaching done for yourself, because coaching is very powerful when you use that and use that with implementing all of your tasks, implementing what you know needs to happen for yourself as the CEO of your business, and then with having someone to help hold yourself accountable and also to help you look at your processes to make sure that your workflow is running smooth and to look at new ways to grow your business and even to look at possibly new services and products to add to generate more revenue. So again, a lot can be done in a Power Talk, but it all starts with you taking swift and immediate action to schedule your first Power Talk with us. So to do that, again, you go to womenaboutbiz.com. That's B-I-Z as in zebra.com. And then from there, once you get on the site, you click coaching in the top right menu bar. And once you're on our coaching channel, look over in that right-hand column and click schedule Power Talk. That's all you have to do, and you will be on your way to getting empowered with ways to grow your business. Okay, it is 12:18 after the hour. You're listening to No Other Than the Successful Woman Radio Show. We just finished up our five ways to spark your abundance. Again, five ways to spark your abundance. I want to remind you that if you've missed any of our shows this week or missed any of our shows for the entire month of October, that is, you can easily go over to Successful Woman Radio. Again, you can easily go over to Successful Woman Radio. And once you are there, you can look over in the right-hand column, and there are the previously broadcasted shows for you to conveniently listen at. Now, you can do that from your cell phone. If you have a smartphone, you can do it from your computer, your notepad, or your iPad. It's all there conveniently located for you so that you can tap into information that you can put to use right away. I want to go ahead right now and just talk a little bit about some things that you should be doing and gearing up for as we look at making a bigger impact on our business for 2018, okay, which is very, very important. The first thing that I want you to know and understand is that thing that I mentioned that you need to look at doing or implementing, it really has everything to do with commitment to your schedule, okay? And it has everything to do with you also getting better organized. I'm finding that for us as women, organization, even though we do a lot of multiple tasks, organization is sometimes challenging for us. Because we do have so many things going on, and we've gotten ourselves into this habit of doing so many things multiple at the same time that we're not doing any one thing good. We're not following through on any one thing. We just have a bunch of projects that are left undone. Does that seem familiar to anybody who's listening to the show? Probably got a lot of nodding heads. It's happened to me before. I've been so busy being busy that I've got a lot of things, a lot of pots without the lid on it. I have not closed out any one project because I've got too many things going on. So getting better organized is something that is needed. It's almost mandatory. What am I saying? Almost. It's mandatory that you be better organized. And the only way that you can be better organized, first of all, is to get clear on your goals and get clear on your priorities, okay? And once you get clear on your goals and your priorities, then it's a simple matter of putting a system that you can implement whatever needs to happen. So I want to go back to one of the core things that I teach here on Successful Woman Radio, and that is vision, because vision is that important, right? You need to understand that when you hear the word vision and when you hear people talking about vision boards or having your vision or writing your vision down, when you hear, yes, that all sounds nice, right? But I want you to know that it is real. I want you to understand that, first of all, because many of you have heard me and other speakers and other motivational coaches and business professionals talk about that you need to write your vision down. And many of you have heard it but have failed to take action on that one simple thing. And it could be because you are kind of confused on what vision are you talking about, right? So I want to make it clear for you where business is concerned, some of the things that you should be considering as you are forming your vision for your business, okay? So not only when you visualize, not only should you be able to just literally close your eyes and see where you are at the end of your vision, but you should also be able to back up to where you are now, open your eyes and write it on a sheet of paper of what you see happening for yourself, right? So here are some core areas that you should be considering when you are visioning, okay? Because I might envision myself standing in a room full of about 10 to 20,000 women, and I am the featured speaker, and I am training all of these women on the principles of success. What is it that they need to do to be successful? Now, I can see myself standing on the stage, and I can see the sea of beautiful women out in the audience. I can see myself there. That's one vision, but I've got to back up to where I am right now because it has not happened yet. But because I can see it, then it tells me that it can happen. And now what I need to do is create a roadmap to get there, okay? So when I am visioning, what I want to first of all do is I don't want to write anything down in a sentence or paragraph. I just simply want to get right to the point. I want to be direct. I want to drill down, and I want to get right to it. So there are some core areas of business visioning that I think you need to look at. You need to look at your financial part of your business visioning. You know, and here's a good question. How much money do you see in your checking account? Okay, again, how much money do you see in your checking account? You see, you got to be able to see it. You got to be able to want it. You got to be able to desire it. You got to be motivated by the amount of money that you see in your checking account. So how much is that going to be? One vision. And I've had many people who have gone further and they've actually written a check to themselves for the amount of money that they would like to have in their checking account, and they set it on their desk as a reminder that that is what they would like to have, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, do that because it's a very good vision encourager. Here's the next area that you need to be looking at. You need to be looking at promotion. What's your promotion vision in your business? How do you see your company being promoted? Do you see yourself on the cover of a magazine? What color suit do you have on? Or what are you wearing? How do you have your hair? You know, how do you want to promote your company? How do you see yourself promoting your company? Okay, so let's say, for example, if you saw yourself being on the front of a magazine cover, remember, visioning is about drill down. Okay, what magazine would that be? Okay, and then you can drill down even more. When would that be? Okay, another area is marketing. How will you market your business? Because promotion and marketing are a little bit different there. So how will you consistently market your business? What do you see happening? You have the core foundation of your marketing, which is your website, right? Everybody's going to come to that central location to get information about your company or to purchase your products or to retain your services. So you've got to have a place that they go and do that. And, of course, in today's time, it is a website. Okay, it is the core foundation of everything that you do, and if you don't have that together, then you shouldn't be marketing yet. So how do you want your website to look, right? Perhaps also in marketing, you know, how do you see your auto flow system? How do you see your system automated, right? You need to be able to see yourself feeling confident and good because your marketing system is automated and you're seeing leads come through your email as a result of the automation, correct? Very, very important. So those are just some core areas that you need to be thinking about when you look at your vision for a business. You really need to look at it in a couple of ways, okay? And then you need to keep in mind that when you look at your vision for your business, for each vision that you visualize, because you can have more than one vision. Vision is not, I don't know, you know, someone put one definition on a vision, pushed it out 10 or 20 years, and made it seem like it was this big thing that was supposed to happen almost at the end of your life or once in a lifetime. Further from the truth, right? Because a vision can happen every day. You can have a vision if God so chose you to have. So you can have multiple visions. Some visions go far out, some visions close in, some visions in one day. So your vision is based on who you are, what you are envisioning, what is happening with you and your spirit, your inside. Your insight mechanism that gives you your encouragement, your motivation, and what it is that you want. For me, it's my Holy Spirit that tells me all of the things that I can do, that tells me all of the things that I can envision, and perhaps for you it is the same thing. However, what you do need to understand is that envisioning, you don't put limits on yourself, right? You don't put limits on yourself, and you certainly don't put a time limit as far as a year that, you know, pushing yourself 10 years out. You want to really keep close to, you know, a one-year time frame with business, okay? It's okay to go out 3 or 4 years, 5 years for your business, but you really, if you have never experienced accomplishing your vision and seeing your vision come to pass, I would not encourage you to push it out further. You've got visions that you want to see happening now, right? So what you want to do is you want to be very direct. You want to drill down. You want to bullet point your visions. You know, you want to list how much money do you see in your checking account. You want to look at how am I going to promote my business. What do I see when I close my eyes and I'm promoting my business and things are happening? How am I involved with that? Marketing my business. What do I want to experience on a daily basis with marketing? If marketing is frustrating you, how can you back up now and say, what would need to take place? What can I visualize happening if marketing were flowing smooth? What would that look like in my company? So very, very important. How many customers or clients do you want? could be another vision. You know, how many new customers do you want to see in your database? What's that number? So it is up to you to envision all of these things and then put it into action. And I hope that has given a little bit of clarity to all of you who are listening as far as visioning is concerned, because I have had a lot of people that have been emailing me asking me to better define visioning as it pertains to business. And so, again, I want to give you that. I want you to understand how important it is for you to not just think you're supposed to come up with one vision or one goal for to accomplish in 10 years from now, but that we're talking about real time. We're talking about looking at what is your vision for the next year. It is only when you come up with that vision, or I should put an S onto it, visions, what you want to experience within a given time frame, and we're talking about a 12-month time frame here for business, that you can begin to have some clarity. Because, see, whatever you say that you want to have happen, whatever you want to experience within a different time frame, then those things will dictate to you what goals you need to establish, and then your goals will dictate to you what tasks need to be established to support each of those goals. And then what happens with the task is that then you need to determine how those tasks are going to occur, because some of them might need to be broken down even more. And then you'll be delegating them or doing it yourself. And then you need to be able to plot it into a calendar and prioritize which goals are going to happen at what month, and then which tasks go with which goals, and then they're going to get plotted into your calendar. And then that is how you know what you should be doing each week and every day of the week, okay? Because everything that you're doing should be contributing and moving in a flow to help your goals, which in turn help you to accomplish your vision. So I hope I made that clear for you, and I hope that kind of gives you some aha moments. And that is why it's so important that you become the CEO that your business needs to have, because the CEO, you, should be focused on the visions of your company, because it is the company's visions that drive everything else. That is why so many corporations spend so much money in retreats to go over the company's visions. Some do it biannually, you know, twice a year. Some do it once a year. Some do it every single quarter, because they really see the importance of it, and they want their managers, their vice presidents to be on the pulse beat of what is happening in the company, right? And then when you break it down, some of those corporations, especially if the corporation is heavy in sales, then they require their sales managers to meet monthly to make sure that they're on the pulse beat of the sales goals of the company. So, again, you have to determine all of that. But what one thing that the CEO doesn't do, that CEO role, is the CEO role doesn't play in the labor side. The labor side is a separate role. Okay, and what happens is that when you are, you know, one person who has to play multiple roles in your business, you have to get clear on how many hours per week you commit to working your business, and then out of those hours, what percentage of those hours each get to be in the labor role, the manager role, and the CEO role. And, you know, I hope I'm not confusing a lot of you who are on listening to the show right now, but what I'm trying to do is to concisely give you some pointers on the responsibility that you have as the CEO of your company and why it is so important that you pay close attention to the vision. And why being the CEO, the visionary, okay, the chief who drives the vision of the company, why it's so important that you spend a lot of time there, because it is what makes the company grow. Very, very important, okay? And I know as women, we are so used to being servants, okay, to serving others, that we end up getting more comfortable in the labor role than any other role of our companies, and then we stay there. But when you are the laborer, I can tell you 100% of the time, you don't think about being the CEO and the visionary. You're just not going to think about that. And for a lot of people that have given personal testimony to me, when they're in the labor side and they're not thinking about business, when they do think about being the CEO of their company or taking control, taking the reins and getting their business back on track, is usually when the business is in trouble. And that's definitely the time that you don't want to be the CEO just when your business is in trouble. So I go back to you with, you have got to go ahead and create a position description for yourself as the CEO owner of your company. If you don't do it, you're not going to have the clarity you need to have to run your business. And you don't need to just list the things that you have good skills in. You need to list the things that you maybe lack the skills in. It doesn't matter, because if it's needed, it's needed. And you can deal with that challenge once you identify and know what it is. Okay? This is very important, ladies, going into 2018, because I have clients right now that have been through the same things every single year for a few years now, which is ladies are sharing with businesswomen, ladies are sharing with me that every year they seem to be back at the same spot, which is not making very much money. They still have a passion for what it is that they've chosen to do as a business. However, they're not seeing things happen in the business. And one of the reasons why is because, number one, there is no clarity on the role of the CEO of the business. You've got to be clear on how important that role is, and you have to be committed to playing that role, right? It's not the only role. When you're a solo entrepreneur, when it's just you, it's not the only role that you have to play in your business, but it's certainly probably the most important, because it's the leadership role. And if you'll remember, I mentioned earlier, I really believe that leadership is the most important role, okay? Because I've seen businesses not have any operational capital to market and advertise with, and yet I've seen those businesses grow up and thrive because of the leadership skills of the CEO of the business. Say it has a lot to do with leadership skills. You can have passion all day long. You can have desire all day long to see that business succeed, but without leadership, without strong, directed leadership, you will not see your company grow to new heights, okay? And so anything that you need for 2018 to accomplish is going to require you to start with that one thing. It's going to require you to start with leadership. And I hope that I was able to get through to some of you who maybe keep wondering, well, why isn't my company growing? You need to definitely understand that it has everything to do with your leadership, okay? I didn't say your leadership skills, and I didn't say your leadership ability. I just said it has everything to do with your leadership, because you have to determine whether or not you need better leadership skills, whether or not you have the ability to lead your company. Okay, you have to determine that, and the only way to know that is to create a position description, right? You got it, a position description for your company. I have three people here who are texting me say amen. One person said amen. Thank you, Cheryl from Ohio. Hi, Cheryl. And I have another person texting me saying, I've got it, position description, yes. A CEO position description for your business. And then the last person, I'm not sure whose phone number this is. The last four of your numbers, 2123. Text me your first name and I'll mention you. But thank you all for texting me that you are getting this. Okay, we've got a lot of people on the call. So I appreciate the encouragement of you three standing out there, and apparently you had my phone number and you've texted me. That's so encouraging. Thank you so very, very much. I want to go ahead right now and read an excerpt for you from the book Get Clients Now. And This is from chapter 7 on filling the pipeline when you don't know enough people to contact. Now, most people say this is where their biggest problem is that they are not knowing enough people to contact. So let's take a look at this for a moment, okay? Because I think that this is a very, very important part. Hopefully those of you who have the book have turned there. There are two versions of the book, but my version has page 123, so your version might be around that page, okay? And again, it's filling the pipeline when you don't know enough people to contact. The author's saying, filling your marketing pipeline with prospects, contacts, leads, and referrals will be an ongoing process for as long as you are in business. I hope many of you understood when she says that it's an ongoing process. It truly, truly is. She says, by choosing to focus on this stage of the marketing cycle, you are acknowledging that this is an area of your marketing that currently needs the most effort. Later on, when you have overcome some of your pipeline filling challenges, you may decide to focus more energy on one of the other stages. But for now, it is important to recognize that you will always need to keep your pipeline filled. This means that whatever marketing strategies you decide on for filling the pipeline, you should be willing to keep them up over an extended period of time. In marketing, more of the same works much better than a little bit of everything. Ideally, your pipeline filling activities should become automatic and habitual. Even when you are busy, you should always allow time for making new contacts, networking, speaking, or whatever your chosen strategies are. It's natural to wonder whether the strategies you have selected are the best choices. Find yourself wanting to switch around just to see if something else might work better. Be patient and don't change your pipeline filling strategies during the 28 days of Get Clients Now program. It simply isn't enough time for you to judge your results accurately. She says it's okay to change individual tactics. You might switch from cold calling to warm calling, for example, but don't alter your overall strategies from, say, networking and referral building to promotional events. The best way to determine how well a particular strategy is working to fill your pipeline is to track the results over time. There are three statistics that will be helpful to you in evaluating the strategies you are using. Number one, she says, how many prospects did each strategy generate? Number two, how many sales resulted from those prospects? And then number three, what was the dollar value of those sales? If you carefully note the exact source of each prospect, you can easily track these statistics for the month of the program. If you keep tracking your results for 3 months, 6 months, or a year, you will have a much more accurate perspective on which marketing strategies actually work best. Then if you decide to make a change, choose just one strategy at a time to try out and remember to keep tracking. As a side note, I just want to say that I noticed a lot of the times that a lot of businesswomen aren't giving their marketing strategies enough time to work. If they put the marketing, if they hand out flyers one day, they're expecting someone to call them the same day or within the same week. They're not giving it enough time. And then they pass the flyers out one day and then that's it. Instead of passing them out every day for a number of days or going into different areas passing flyers out or marketing in different ways. I don't see that happening. It's not being marketing isn't consistent. So you can't, most of the time, you can't say something is not working unless you have adequately did it for enough period of time to where you can actually track it. And that's exactly what she's saying here. If you keep tracking your results for 3 months, 6 months, or a year, you will have much more of an accurate perspective on which marketing strategies work best. Okay? Who belongs in your pipeline? She says there are two broad categories of people and organizations you want in your marketing pipeline, those who may someday be your clients and those who can refer clients to you. To find people who are likely to become your clients, you'll want to reach out to a market niche that is a good match for your service. To find people who may never be clients but could refer your business, reach out to those who serve or interact with people in that niche. So in other words, what she's saying is that, number one, you really need to be clear and focused on who your target market is, and then you need to make sure that you niche in your market enough that you find a specific group of people that would best be suited for your product or your service. Then to find people who would refer other clients to you, it's got to be people that might be in that niche, but they are not looking for your particular type of services, but they can refer people to you because they're around your type of target market audience all the time. She goes on to say, a person or group who doesn't fall into one of these two categories, and again, the two categories were people who someday may be your clients and those who can refer clients. She says, a person or group who doesn't fall into one of these two categories probably doesn't belong in your pipeline. It is true that people you meet in the course of doing business may become personal friends or helpful resources, but you don't want to use up your precious marketing time in following up with folks who are neither likely to be clients nor actually refer them. And so I'm going to stop right here because this is a huge problem that I see going on amongst micro business owners, solo entrepreneurs, is that oftentimes you're wasting too much of your time talking to people who are never going to become your client. They want you to purchase their products and services, but they're really not interested, and the two are two totally different things. So it's important for you to be clear that when you are networking and you're out there talking to people, you do have to qualify individuals as whether or not they will be good prospects or leads. So you should automatically have a set of quick questions to ask somebody as to and qualify them quickly as to whether or not they would be good as a client or if they need your product and service. She says, whenever you meet someone outside of your market niche who also doesn't seem to have much contact with it, think twice before putting that person in your pipeline. Always concentrate your efforts on most likely prospects and referral partners. The way to win the marketing game is to not collect the most names and phone numbers. I hope you guys are hearing me read this. I want to repeat that. The way to win the marketing game is not to collect the most names and phone numbers, but to make the most sales. Okay? You can have 5,000 people on your email list and be emailing them every single day and may not be getting any response. And that could be because they really are not in your target market niche for individuals to you, okay? She says, ingredients for filling the pipeline include the following: description of your services, market niche definition, a 10-second introduction, business cards, and a website, okay? She says, being able to describe clearly the services you offer is essential for all aspects of marketing. A solid description of services can be the basis of numerous other marketing tools, such as a brochure, your website, or a telephone script. A complete description contains the features, benefits, structure, and cost of your services. An example, she gives an example in 7.1 in the book, is for a certified public accountant serving small business owners. And this accountant says, I provide tax preparation services for income, payroll, sales, and other miscellaneous taxes. I advise my clients on tax compliance and how to minimize their taxes. I also prepare business and personal financial statements. Other services I offer are analyzing employee benefits and retirement packages, valuing the worth of a business, and advice on accounting and financial software. And benefits of using my saving money on taxes, complying with government regulations to avoid penalties, having accurate information to manage your business at your fingertips, and letting someone else worry about keeping up with the tax laws so you don't have to. See, in addition to listing what the services were about, the accountant also listed the benefits. And the benefits should always address the pain points or the needs or the challenges of your client or customer, right? And you'll notice here the accountant's benefits did just that, which is I'm going to save you money on taxes. That's something all business owners need. And the accountant says complying with government regulations to avoid penalties. That's a pain point. Because if you have penalties imposed on you by your state, local, or federal government, that's more money coming out of your pocket, right? So again, you want to understand that when you're trying to describe your business, this is something that's going to be very, very important, okay? And then she goes on to talk about more ingredients to find the best ways to fill the pipeline for your business. Who needs your service the most? Who's able to pay what you need to charge? Who is likely to give you large orders or repeat business? Whose problems and goals do you care about? And what type of client work provides you with the most enjoyment and satisfaction? Where do you already have many contacts or an established reputation? And who would be the easiest clients to get? So these are all questions that she asked. And again, for those of you that dialed in late, we are reading an excerpt from the book, Get New Clients, by author C.J. Hayden. And, of course, we're reading from Chapter 7, Filling the Pipeline, When You Don't Know Enough People to Contact. So I hope that was very, very interesting to you. It is now 12:50, 10 minutes before the hour. Don't hang up that phone, because we're going to quickly talk about go get your clients and some of the things that you need to have in order to go get your client. And as I said before, I just read from the book Get Clients Now, and it was about filling your pipeline, because most business owners have a problem with coming up with who's my contact, who's my target audience. So the first thing I want to tell you to get clear on, okay, so that you can have a bigger impact on your business, especially in 2018, ladies, you got to get clear on your target market. If you don't get clear on your target market, guess what's going to happen? All of your marketing will be in vain, because you won't be clear on who you're supposed to be marketing to, okay? Very, very important. Did you know that when you're clear on your target market, it helps you to understand what type of marketing materials you need to use, the best colors you need to use, and promotions, where you need to market at, whether you need to do advertisement or whether you need to do live events. It's going to tell you all of that, but you got to get clear first on who your target audience is, okay? And then, of course, another thing that you're going to need to go get your clients, once you are clear on your target market, you're going to need a process or a system. And in this particular case, for example, in Get Clients Now, she calls it filling the pipeline. You're going to need a system of how you fill your pipeline, right? Once you meet someone, from the time you meet them all until they close as a client, that's everything in between is considered a pipeline, okay? How are you going to manage your pipeline? And what are the tools necessary in order to manage the pipeline? So very, very important. Now, in the book, Get Clients Now, and I'm going to try to quickly find that for you, she talks about filling the pipeline on page 123, which I just read from, but she's also going to give you the resources and the task to be done with filling that pipeline. And it is actually in the book, and I'm trying to quickly find it for you now while I'm live with you. But she gives you a lot of different things that go into filling that pipeline. So, again, let me just repeat myself. From beginning that you meet somebody until you close and become a client, everything in between is the pipeline. So what needs to be happening there? Should they be receiving an autoresponder email, right? So should you have a series of emails that go out to that person? Should they be receiving some type of promotional material, whether that is a brochure? Should they be going to a video of some sort and reviewing the video? What is it that they should be doing, okay? So you need to know what type of promotional material or promotional techniques you're going to be using. And then the third thing, which is so important, is, you know, how often are they going to be transferred into a general after their initial letters that they're going to receive? Let's say for the first 30 days they might receive 5 to 7 emails. What's going to happen at that point? Do they then get pushed into the general email system, right? So that's going to be important, right? And then what type of promotions are you going to give them to encourage them to purchase now? you've got to determine what your, and in the marketing world, we call that the compelling offer. What type of compelling offers are you going to create in order to attract that person to take action now? And usually it's one type of compelling offer that you're going to keep reminding them about over and over. Okay, that's the goal, because sometimes it takes 7 touches before somebody takes action or acts on something. Okay, so if somebody said they were interested in your product or your service, but they didn't get it yet, you can't get upset and say, well, I don't understand. They said they were going to do it and they never called me back, or they never, because I find a lot of women getting attitudes. You're putting your emotions into business, and it has no place in this particular side of business, because, you know, getting emotional because the customer didn't call you back, or because you're not getting people saying that they're going to call you back, or they're going to purchase but they don't purchase, and then you get upset, is not going to help you to grow. What you need to understand is that usually it takes anywhere between 7 to 10 touches for a person to come around, okay? So that could be within, a 14-day period, or it could be within a 90-day period, right? But you can't be a desperate mode causes you to be off track and out of touch with the customer or client. And it causes you to act off of your emotion instead of acting as a leader, acting off of as a visionary of what you should be doing for your company, right? So as you're creating that system that's going to help you to fill that pipeline and stay in constant communication with that pipeline, you got to remember that there are a lot of things that are happening there once a person connects with you, okay? And then the third thing that's very important, because I talked about a clear target market, be clear on that. We talked about making sure you have your system, which is everything happening in between connecting and closing the sale. Now we need to talk about closing the sale a little bit, ladies, because this is a serious thing here. And a lot of people, I find, don't necessarily understand the sales closing process altogether, okay? And this is where people are going all wrong at, because sales is one of those things that if you don't understand your responsibility in closing the sales, it really is what causes you not to be able to grow your company and generate more cash coming into your business. So I just want to share some quick things on sales. And by the way, if you are a member of Women About Biz and you log in to where you have access to all of the articles, right? If you go to channels, I believe there's an excellent, excellent article on closing the sales right in the Grow Your Business channel, okay? And what I'm actually doing right now is pulling that article up, because there's some things that I want to share with you from the article that I think is going to take you a long way. Okay, so if you're looking to close the sale on anything, because you need to understand marketing your business is only the system of attracting people to you. Something else has to take place in order for them to actually become customers. A few things have to take place. Attracting them to you actually tells you that they are perhaps a qualified prospect or lead, right? But closing the sale and actually generating an income from that individual, you have to do a little bit more work than just attracting them to you. Now it's time for you to actually close the sale. So what does it mean to close the sale? Closing the sale means that you have talked to the person and they have actually, given you a check or a credit card number or cash, and they are ready to make the purchase. And it is your responsibility to close the sale. The marketing attracts them to you, and now it's your time to do the biggest piece of work, believe it or not, which is closing the sale. So you first have to start with having a sales system of what happens after a person comes to you, form out on your website, or they tell you, yes, I'm interested in purchasing your service. You've got to have what we call a funnel system, a pipeline system to make that person become your customer. You've got to have that, right? So this is going to be very, very important. And so some of the things that go into sales is, number one, is you definitely want to ask them a series of questions, usually 3 to 5 questions, that is going to help you to close the sale. Those 3 to 5 questions have to do with, you know, what are you looking for right now? What is there any particular time frame that you're looking to have this particular product or service? You know, what are you going to need it for? I mean, you need to know all of these questions, and you need to know their pain point or their pressure point or their challenge, what they are actually dealing with. Again, for an accountant, they're going to ask the person, you know, when's the last time you had your taxes done? You know, how much did you pay in taxes last year? Okay, are there anything that you're concerned with? Did you get served with a audit, or have you not paid your taxes in 2 to 5 years? And so as a result, you're really worried about that. You've got to find out what is going to help you to close that sale with that person, because you can take that very information and you can use that to close the sale. For example, if I'm an accountant, if I am Alicia the accountant, and I've got Sally the client, and I say to Sally, when is the last time you actually prepared your business taxes? And Sally may say, I haven't had my taxes prepared in 3 years. So you're 3 years in arrears or behind on your taxes, correct? Yes. And so what is your chief concern? Well, I'm really worried that I'm going to get audited right now, Alicia, and I don't know or understand what I need to do to make this right. Okay, I understand what you're saying, Sally. Okay, got you. So, Sally, let me ask you a question right now. Are you currently generating an income from your business? You know, about how much money did you make each of those 3 years? Now what Alicia is doing is she's getting Sally to qualify herself that she can pay for Alicia to have those taxes prepared and taken care of. So Alicia's asking her, how much money would you say that you lost money or you made money during each of those 3 years? And how much money are you generating so far this year? See, again, those questions are important not only for the tax sake, but Alicia needs to know, can this client pay me, right? So then Alicia's able to come back and close that sale and say, well, Sally, being that you're behind 3 years, that means that we have to prepare your taxes for each of the 3 years and then bring you current. So what we're going to do, now this is Alicia the accountant talking, we're going to go ahead and see if we can't get an extension so that we will prepare the most current taxes. We'll prepare that later and get permission from the IRS so you won't have penalties on that. But for the previous 3 years, we need to now prepare your taxes for each of those years. And it's going to cost you about $1,200 to get that done, okay, because we have to do it for each of those 3 years. Did you keep receipts, bookkeeping? Did you keep any of those things available? You know, and so, again, she's talking to her, and she says, listen, she's now getting ready to add a pain or pressure point by letting the client, Sally, know, hey, Sally, listen, you may not have known this, but for each year that you do not pay your taxes or for each month that you let this go by, it could actually end up being thousands and thousands of dollars. So we need to nip this in the bud right now. We need to take care of it immediately. You got what I'm saying? While it's just 3 years, because you don't want it to go to 5 years or 10 years or what have you. So let's get this taken care of now, and I'll work out something with you. I'll work out a payment plan and whatever we need to do, but I'm going to need this to get started. Can we get started today on that? You see how Alicia is able to then go back to Sally and start closing that sale and letting her know, let's get started on this now. She's addressed the pressure points. She's shown her the urgency, what's going to happen to her, the consequence of not preparing those taxes. Now, you may not have that directive consequences on certain products or services. Pretty much understand and use whatever the client or customer gives you. You can even do it for lipstick. Honestly, you can. Well, what lipsticks have you used so far that are working on you? Do you have any lipsticks that you don't like because they dried your lips out or the color changed directly after you put it on? Okay, do you use a moisturizer or a foundation before you put on your lipstick? See, you can you can actually know what you need to recommend to the customer or the client by the questions you ask them. This is why sales is a separate training in most all cases, because it is a system all unto itself that you learn and understand how to close the sale based on what you are selling. If you're in a service business or whether you sell a product, you need to know how to make that sale happen, how to make it close. And again, you can ask questions for anything that you're doing, whether you're in network marketing, whether you are in a service-oriented business, whether you're in a product-based business. Only you know the questions that you need to ask that are going to help you to close the sale with that individual. Whatever problems you can help solve or whatever pain you can help relieve them of, that's what you should be focusing on when you are closing the sale. And the other thing I just want to let you know, because this was my big aha moment, when I really learned a lot about marketing several years ago, I saw a whole change in my mindset, my attitude of how I generated my income and how I brought clients in, and it just literally put me in a state of awe that, oh my gosh, the sky really is the limit when you know how to sell. So one of the things you need to understand is, ladies, don't be scared of sales. It is a natural part of marketing. It is a natural process of being in business, right? And you have a lot of people who are making people even more fearful in sales by saying, oh, well, this type of business opportunity, you definitely won't have to sell, or this type of business opportunity, you definitely won't have to convince people to purchase it. No, that sales is involved in all aspects of business. And the one thing that you do have to be aware of is that you have to be a master in sales, and that's what you should be aspiring to do, is being a master in selling your service or your product. So very, very important, okay? So in order to do that, it's going to be important to know what your sales closure ratio is all about, because it's time for you to go get your clients, and you need to understand, again, three important points from this talk that I've been giving you for the last 15 minutes. And that is that from the time you make a connection until the end of the close of a sale, everything in between there is considered filling your pipeline, right? That's your system of how you're going to generate more leads for your business, right? But that will help to attract people to you, but it does nothing to help you to generate the cash until you close the sale. This is very important. So then I talked about some of the elements of sales and what's important about sales. And so now I'm sharing with you that you've got to figure out what your sales closure ratio is, okay? So the sales closure ratio measures the percentage of prospects that you were able to convert into sales, first of all. That's simply what it means. Let me repeat that for you. The sales closure ratio just simply measures the percentage of prospects that you were able to convert into actual sales, okay? So figuring out your sales ratio will require you to keep a measurement of the number of people that contact you or that you contact for products and services, whether it's via phone, email, or through your website or a landing page. You've got to keep the number of people that you constantly talk to about your product or service. And once you have that number, okay, you've got to figure out the number of leads or prospects, for example, for your previous month or for a particular time frame, and then count the number of sales you actually closed out of that number. So here's an example, okay? Here's an example. If you had 10 leads, meaning over a period of time you talked to 10 people and you actually closed 5 of those leads, meaning those people paid you money for a service or a product, then you would have a 50% sales closure ratio, okay? And how did I get that? Because the formula to find your sales closure ratio is the number of sales divided by the number of leads times 100. Let me repeat that again. So it's the number of sales divided by the number of leads times 100. Whatever that comes to, that's your sales closure ratio. Here's another example. A number of leads that were generated was 30. the number of sales from that number of leads, from 30 is 20% sales closure ratio, okay? So, again, the number of sales from 30 people that this individual talked to was only 6, and so their closure ratio was 20%. So each industry has what they consider is going rate of sales closure ratios that an individual should be at, right? So you can either find out what that is or you can just set your own sales closure ratio. But what I can tell you is that most people should reach, have a desire to reach a 75% or higher sales closure ratio, okay? Very, very important. That means that 7 out of 10 people that you talk to, you are closing the sale on those 7 people, okay? Your sales closure ratio improves by one thing and one thing alone. It improves by the questions you're asking and how you're using those questions to close the sale on that individual. When I talk to people who are interested in my business coaching, I right away ask them the number one question that a business coach should be asking them, okay? Have you ever had business coaching before? They say no, so that tells me that they are totally unaware of what coaching probably really is. And then the second question to that is, do you want to have coaching because you're having some challenges in your business or you're trying to grow your business? And they'll tell me I'm having challenges or I want to do both. I want to address these challenges or I want to grow my business. Okay, it sounds good. Okay, so let me ask you a question. Do you have a set-aside budget for coaching? Okay, and oftentimes people are going to tell me, no, I don't have a set-aside budget. And I say, well, do you have any idea of how much money you can put aside for your coaching each month? Because what I'm trying to see is if the person can afford, not just me, but if they can afford coaching altogether, that's going to help me to fine-tune and customize a package that might be best for them, right? And so, again, you have to figure out what your questions are going to be. You have to figure out the same exact thing. Listen, ladies, it's time to go get your clients. It's time to stop just how am I in the world going to generate $5,000 cash. It's time for you to go get it. It's time for you to create a system. It's time for you to be clear on your target market, and it's time for you to learn how to close the sale so you can make this thing happen for yourself. And it can happen sooner than later when you dedicate the amount of time necessary to start planning out your business properly. Now, this book, Get Clients Now by C.J. Hayden, again, is a 28-day marketing program, and I highly recommend that you read that and then select what area of your business you're going to work on for 28 days and go for it. Start seeing some results, okay? Start filling that pipeline and understanding how you need to close the client. Now, I'm very good at closing the sale. I have a high sales closure ratio that's in the 90 percentile. And so with that said, I wasn't always there. I think I started somewhere in the 40 percentile, and I worked my way up until I understood the process for how to talk to people, how to close the sale. And so I'm letting you know right now, I mentioned the Power Talk before, but if you want to go ahead and schedule a Power Talk with me because you want to get better at closing the sale, then you need to go ahead and give me a call and get your Power Talk scheduled. And to do that, go to Women About Biz, that's B-I-Z as in zebra, womenaboutbiz.com, and then in the top menu bar, click on Coaching. And then from Coaching, look in the right-hand column and select Schedule Power Talk. Be on your way. I've got spots available this week if you want to do that. For those of you who are currently, whether you're a gold member or whether you are a bronze member, if you log in and go to channels and go to Grow Your Business, you'll be able to see on that front channel page right there, closing the sale, what's your ratio. And you'll be able to read the whole article where I give you the formula and everything for determining what your sales closure ratio is, and you'll be able to read and see how you can better close the sale. Because, again, remember, when you go to get your client, it is not, and I repeat, it is not just about marketing. And that is my aha moment. When I understood that marketing was only a system of attracting people to me, but that had nothing to do with me closing the sale, When I understood that, my whole understanding of things changed in business because I realized that I had more to do, that I had to play a much larger role than just putting marketing material and information out there and expecting someone to connect with me. I then realized that I was responsible for generating the amount of money that I wanted to make. And the sky is the limit for me, and I want it to be for you. So we're going to delve into the sale closing process more in November. We're going to talk a lot more about that. I didn't get a chance to talk about the holiday ideas, but I've been talking about it all month, so you can go back to any of the previous broadcasts and listen to all of the ideas that we've talked about thus far about holiday marketing. I hope today's broadcast has helped you and that you have found it very valuable, if so, of other businesswomen by sharing with them to listen to Successful Woman Radio every single Monday. If you've got a pen in hand, take this number down, 347-637-2589. That is the show phone number that you can dial directly into and listen every Monday, 12 noon Eastern Time. Until next Monday, have a beautiful and an abundant week. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.